Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open our eyes and fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may see wonderful things in your word through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I really want to focus on just one part of that New Testament passage from Matthew chapter 5, and it's the part which says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Last week we were seeing how Jesus began his great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, with the Beatitudes, where he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who are meek, and blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness." And he's talking about how he wants to see an inner transformation in our hearts. But then he goes on to say that he's also looking for us to go out and change the world. So what following Jesus is all about is an inward transformation in our heart that leads to an outward transformation in the world. And sometimes we can forget about one or other part of that. Sometimes we go out and we think we're going to change the world and do wonderful things out there and make the world a better place. But we forget that we need, first of all, our hearts to be right with God. Or sometimes we spend all our energy and focus thinking about our own relationship with God, and we forget to put it into practice in what we do in the world. So Jesus is very much looking for us to have hearts which are changed and filled with him, and then he's looking for us to go out and to do good in the world. And the way that he describes that here is he says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." And there's really four things I want to say quite briefly about that this morning to help us understand this and put it into practice. Here's number one. Being the light of the world means being like Jesus. It means being like Jesus. Do you remember 2 weeks ago when Bishop Andrew was here and he spoke about Matthew chapter 4 and he pointed out how it says in chapter 4 verse 16, that when Jesus began preaching, it was like people seeing a great light. And Jesus Christ himself said, "I am the light of the world." So he says, the world is dark, but I am the light of the world. And that's a wonderful thing. But now here he says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." Okay, so "I am the light of the world," he says, "and you are the light of the world." And maybe we get a bit confused. We think, well, which is it? You know, are you the light of the world? Are we the light of the world? Who is? Both. Okay, both are. Because when we're like Jesus, then we will also be a light in the darkness of this world. So the purpose of Christians, the purpose of Jesus' followers, the purpose of the church is to be a light shining in the darkness of our world. Now, that hasn't always worked out brilliantly well. Okay, you know that. Sometimes the church itself has been a source of darkness. Sometimes, for example, the church, different times in history and different places, has approved of violence, for example. Sometimes the church has covered up wrongdoing and abuse. Sometimes the church has engaged in corruption and even theft. Sometimes the church has worked hand in hand with dark forces politically and in other ways. And when that happens, the church is no longer being itself. It's like a light that has gone out, and it's only adding to the darkness in the world. But at its best, the Church of Jesus Christ has been a source of light. Think of how we read in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, about how the early Christians cared for everybody. They gave up their own possessions to give to the poor. They became famous throughout the Roman Empire as the church grew and spread, because when, for example, there was a plague and many people were ill, coming down with some terrible disease, it was very often the Christians who would go and take care of them, even at risk to themselves. When they found unwanted children, the early Christians would take care of them and bring them into their own homes to look after them. In England in the 18th and 19th century, it was Christians who were at the forefront of getting slavery abolished in that country, and then that spread further around the world, although it's still not finished because there's still slavery happening in the world today. Or we think of how in the 20th century in America, Christians took on combating racism and other types of discrimination to give the message that everybody is created equal. So when Christians are following Christ, when they're living like Jesus Christ, they're a light in the world, and that's our purpose and our point. And that's still happening across the world today. You could go to many places and see where the Church of God is doing tremendous good. I'm really looking forward to, in March, taking a trip to Nigeria. I'm going to go with two other ministers from the Church of Ireland, and we're going to be away for about 10 days in March. And I'm going to do two things. I'm going to visit our friends, the Crichtons, who you've met here several times, Rick and Alana, and their family. And I'm going to see firsthand the work that they're doing in Nigeria, the teaching that Rick is doing in order to help Christians in that country with a lot of problems to live more like Jesus Christ. I'm going to see the project that we donated to a year and a half ago in our Harvest Appeal, the Children's Center there in Kogoro, which is to provide a safe place of refuge for children within that community. And then I'm going to go on to a place called Jos, which is an Anglican diocese there, and I'm going to visit the bishop there and see some of the projects that they are doing. And so I'll bring back lots of news about it. That's going to be in March. So Christians at their best are at the forefront of bringing blessing to the world. Even here ourselves, we are trying to do that as well. We try to do it through the way that we serve the community, through the way that, through different projects, including the mustard seed and other things, we're trying to combat isolation and loneliness. We're trying to bring people together and give them an opportunity to encounter Jesus Christ in a very non-threatening way. And there's many, many different opportunities to do that. So being the light of the world happens when we try to be like Jesus and follow him. Jesus says a city or a town on a hill cannot be hidden. So the idea is that we're to let our light shine out and bless the world. Then secondly, being the light of the world means having courage to live for Christ. It means having courage. Did you notice how he says, people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put the lamp on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. So being the light of the world is also about being public and not being ashamed or afraid to confess that we love Jesus and that we're his followers. Sometimes being a follower of Jesus means going against the flow. I was speaking not long ago to a man who is not from this community at all. He's from, lives actually, in fact, in a different country. But he was working for a business and it involved a lot of travel. So he and a team with him would be going to all different countries across Europe for their work. And most of the other members of the team were constantly inventing expenses so that they would get more money from the company. So they would say, for example, that their flight had been delayed and that it had to stay overnight in a hotel somewhere. And it wasn't true at all, but they were doing it so that they could claim hundreds of euros from the company. And this friend of mine, who's a Christian, wasn't happy to do that. He wasn't comfortable. He said, I can't do that. I can't lie. I can't steal in that way. And of course, it was very, very difficult, because if he put in a different claim from all the rest of the team, then their wrongdoing would also be exposed. And so it was a real problem and a dilemma. He had to have a lot of courage to stand for the truth in that situation. I think of our young people who we're really privileged to have in our church and in our parish. And as they go out into the world and are trying to live for Christ, you're really going to need courage. I think it's almost the top thing you need. I think the very first thing you need is love for God and for others. But the second biggest thing you need is courage if you're going to live for Jesus in your school or when you go into a workplace. You need to be courageous, because sometimes people will not thank you for following Jesus and for doing what he says. Number three, being the light of the world means giving glory to God. He says there in verse 16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's about glorifying God. Letting your light shine, being a light in the world, isn't about blowing your own trumpet. It's not about showing everybody how wonderful you are. Jesus, in fact, talks about that in chapter 6 of this gospel, and he calls that hypocrisy. He says that if you're being good just so that people think you're good, that is no good. Okay? That's hypocrisy. If you're just showing people, you know, he says, for example, when you're giving money to the poor, and if you sort of do it, you know, just show everybody, look how much money I'm giving here. He says, that's no use. That's just an outward show. But he says, if you genuinely live for me, then your life will be kind of way transparent, and people will see through you and see God. He's calling us to a kind of a transparent life. I had a friend one time who had a lot of funny remarks, and I was watching the television with him one time, and I got up to go and get something, and I think I stood in front of him, and he said to me, Huss, you're a pane, but you're not a pane of glass. Get out of the way. So that was quite a good one. I wasn't literally transparent, okay? I wasn't a pane of glass, but Jesus actually is asking us to be like a pane of glass, to be transparent so that people don't see us, but they see Jesus in us, okay? You see what I mean? We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves, but to let people see and glorify God through the way that we live, showing that we love God in our lives as well as with our lips. So a great thing we can do in every situation that we're in through the day and through the week is to think, what can I do here that would give glory to God? Okay, not just what can I do here that will make my life happier and easier, but what can I do that will give glory to God? You know the way if you're part of a team, you want to do everything for the good of the team. And even, you know, the way that you behave, you want to honor that uniform that you have as a member of a soccer team or whatever it is. And you don't want to let the team down. You don't want to behave in a way that dishonors the colors that you're wearing. Well, as Christians, we don't want to live in ways that dishonor the Father in heaven. We live to glorify God. And then the fourth and the final one. Being the light of the world means working together for the good of others. Working together. Now, that's kind of not totally obvious from our passage until you realize that when he says you are the light of the world, that you word is plural. It's not just saying that each of us individually is a little light, but that all of us together are a light shining in the darkness. So A really crucial thing is that we're united together for the good of others. I want to say from my heart, I'm really thankful. I often count my blessings as the rector of Donegal, Killimard, Lahesk, and Lahey because of the unity that we have in our parishes. You would not believe how some of my clergy colleagues have a terrible time trying to stop people fighting with each other all the time. Some of them, that's virtually all they do as rector, is try to stop people fighting each other. So I am very, very grateful and thankful. We have a lovely church community. We have a lovely family sort of feeling about our parishes. Within each of our churches, there's a kind of a togetherness. And across the four parishes, I think there is as well, although that could always increase and be more and more. But unity is so, so important, isn't it? Because if we're arguing and fighting with each other, then it's not giving a good message to the world around. And if we're united, it can be a tremendous help in our task of being the light of the world. So we want to use that unity that we have to spread the light around our community, working together. There's lots of things that we have been able to do together in our parish and in our parishes in terms of, as I've already said, supporting global mission and supporting local charities and in trying to be a light in our community. And I want to mention one particular thing which is coming up in a couple of months' time. In April, there is going to be an event called On the Move. This is an event of Derry and Raphoe Diocese. So it's a youth event organized by Derry and Raphoe. It happens every year. And what happens in On the Move is that teenagers from across Derry and Raphoe come together in a particular place for a couple of days to enjoy being together, but also to serve that community, to go out and do practical work, which could be work of tidying, cleaning, picking up litter, serving in improving the environment in a particular place, or perhaps giving some encouragement to those working in hospitals and so on and so forth. And On the Move is going to come to Donegal and Lahey in the 24th to 26th of April. So there will be a team of about 20 to 30 or so teenagers from across Derry and Raphoe coming to this part of the world for that weekend. And any of you who are young people here, you can join that if you want and be part of it as well. And they're going to be going out and doing just practical things to help and bless the community. So we're going to try and work with the Tidy Towns and other committees like that in order to use that energy and those young people to do something that will make a positive difference in the community for a couple of days. So you'll hear more about that. We're going to be looking for people to help with some of the things like that, a wee bit of the catering and so on and so forth. On the Move, that's in April. So the point of it is to come together to bless the community. And I think that young people today particularly have a great sense of wanting to do something for the world, wanting to make the world a better place, but sometimes not knowing how to do it. And as the church, we need to create opportunities to do good in our community. Okay, that's enough. We've gone on quite a while there, but I'm enthusiastic about this subject. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And remember what he says. He's saying that we're the light of the world. It means being like Jesus, okay, living his way. It sometimes means having courage to go against the flow. It means giving glory to God, not drawing attention to ourselves. And it means having a unity among us so that we can bring the good news of Christ to our local community and to the world in actions as well as what we say. So let's pray together as we think of these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've called us to be a light shining in the darkness of this world. Help us to be true to this calling and to give honor and glory to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.